following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth. Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show. Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows? Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
The Vino live from Burbank, California.
Welcome aboard Savina Veritas. This is your captain speaking. Prepare for takeoff and enjoy the flight. We'll be arriving shortly live from Burbank, California.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards with a V for victory.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Oh my God.
No!
Guys, my God, what are you doing? No, this is wrong. Oh my God, look at what you did to him.
If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
You know, I flew here. How come the first class people just, they can just get on whenever they want? I've always hated that. First class people, board at your leisure. Take your time, first class people. Coach people, no, wait, sit, scuzz. Wait, little piggies. So when you do get on, the first class people, they're already sitting there. They're all sprawled out in their big thrones. Bring me the head of a pig. And a goblet of something cool and refreshing. Anyone have a fiddle? Make someone from Coach fiddle for me. Amuse me. They have fiddles in the overhead racks up there. You're not allowed to even use their bathrooms. The bathrooms up front are for our first class passengers. The coach bathrooms are located at Newark Airport. Concourse C. Concourse C, ladies and gentlemen. So when you do board, the first class people, they're sitting there. A lot of them are working as you're boarding. They have computers out and calculators. They're looking up at you like, hey, we're making money right now. Right now we're making money. Go, get in the back. Close that curtain. I don't want to see it. Even in my peripheral. Huh? Snap it. Snap it shut. What's the matter with us? They got to cover us up with a tarp. You go in the back, everybody has coloring books on. Hey, come here. Where was you? Where was you at? You're in the middle, and there's nine of us, and you're in the middle, and we have all the armrests, so you gotta sit like this. You gotta figure out a way to eat your snack while your elbows are touching. You gotta learn how to twist your little plastic utensil. I like to sit way in the back, except for one thing, all the good meals run out, you know, you're poking your head out from row 199, the flight attendants are this big. You can hear the good meals getting snagged. We have a turkey sandwich, a chicken quesadilla, and a cold fish head. I'm just... Oh. Wonder what I'm gonna get. So when they get to the back of the plane, they have to do that flight attendant psychology game and pretend like the good stuff never even existed. It never even was. Would you like a nice cold fish head? They're frozen solid, frozen head of fish. The eyeball's in there and the skeleton's coming out. It comes with a turnip and a spork. I was wishing you'd have one of them left. Wishing upon a star. But I admire flight attendants, man. I really do. They put up with a lot of garbage from people. Have you ever been sitting in your seat and you see somebody trying to fit something in the overhead rack that you know ain't going in there like in a million years? You have like a mattress and a lamp. You're looking at him like, what kind of perception problems does this guy have? And the flight attendants are always nice. They always run up and act like it might maybe fit. You know, oh, I don't know if that's going to get up there. We can check it for you, you moron. I know that's what they want to say. I would last about 8 seconds at that job. I'll just get up there. Does that look like it's going to fit? You have this much room, you have a dead yak. Are you okay? You don't see all these people jammed up waiting on you? You don't see any of that? Oh, this is your world. It's all about you. You let us know when you're all set, Captain You Planet. And I feel bad for the gate agents because they try to get the boarding process to run smoothly, but no one will listen to them. Don't blame them. They try, they get on the intercom. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin boarding. If we could ask for your cooperation, would you all please remain seated until your row has been called? Everyone, please, please remain seated. Everyone, please back away from the gate. Please back away from the gate. Somehow, by the time that comes out the speakers, it must sound like, everybody up and rush the door. Everyone, immediately try to squish your fat butt simultaneously in the small gate door area. Hurry. Push and shove, everyone. Push and shove. Do whatever you have to get on board. This is the last helicopter out of Vietnam. I'm embarrassed to be human. You're gonna get on. I want to get on before everybody else! Why? Human beings, man. I'm sure you've been at airports with the moving sidewalks. Right? You know the whole stand right, walk left concept? Well, for some people, unlearnable. You ain't getting it in, no matter how much stimuli you offer. I've been on them where I don't understand how people don't see that that's the system. There's a big yellow dotted line going down the middle, and it's stenciled every 3 feet on the sidewalk. Stand, 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 walk, 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 walk. On the handrail, stand, stand, walk, walk. Up here, stand, walk. Pictures of people standing, walking. And I've seen footprints together in a park. And you still have people riding that left handrail. It's fun to fly. Watch them close, because they're the ones at the end of the moving sidewalk. Something changed. Something changed.
Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru.
People on planes are the worst. People on planes, they complain. They get off the plane, they come to your house, and they tell you about their whole flight experience. and they make it sound like it was fucking a cattle car in Poland in the 40s. They just make it, that was the worst day of my life. I had to sit on the runway for 40 minutes. That's a story in this country. That's a fucking hardship. That you had to sit on the runway. People will listen to that story. They'll stop doing the dishes and turn around and go, oh my God, really? For 40 minutes? That's awful. You should sue them. I had to sit on the runway for 40 minutes. Oh my God, really? What happened then? Did you fly through the air like a bird? Incredibly? Did you soar into the clouds impossibly? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight and then land softly on giant tires that you couldn't even conceive how they fucking put air in them? How dare you? Bitching about flying. I had to pay for my sandwich. You're flying! You're sitting in a chair in the sky. You're like a Greek myth right now. But it doesn't go back very far, and I'm sort of squishing my knees. The Wright brothers would kick us all right in the cunt if they knew. If you could go back in time to Orville Wright and go, hey, dude, I had to sit on the runway for 40 minutes. And he'd be like, oh, shit, well, let's not even bother then. Hey, Wendell, shut it down. They make you wait for a bit. That hardly seems worth it. There's always delays. That's what everybody complains about. There's always delays when I fly. Really? Delays. It's too slow. Air travel's too slow. New York to California in 6 hours. That used to take 30 years to do that. And a bunch of you would die on the way there. You get shot in the neck with an arrow and you go, and you fall down. And the other passengers would just bury you and put a stick there with your hat on it and keep walking. And one of them would fuck your wife and have 3 babies. And all the old people would die. You'd be a whole different group of people by the time you got to California. Now you watch an Adam Sandler movie and you take a big runny dump and you're there.
In Llama Land, there's a one-man band and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue.
Pretend to have your attention for just a few moments. My ex-husband, my new boyfriend, and their divorce attorney are going to show you the safety features of Boeing 737-800 series. It's been a long day for me. To properly fasten your seatbelt, slide the flat into the buckle. To release, lift up on the buckle. Position your seatbelt tight and low across your hips like my grandmother wears her support bra. If you get mad, you want to take your toys and go home. There's 8 ways to get there. 2 forward exit doors, 2 upper wing window exits, 2 rear exit doors, signs overhead, disco lights, and a floor lead each exit. Everybody gets a door prize in the seat back pocket in front of you, along with 30 diapers, chewing gum wrappers, banana peels, and all other gifts you leave for us. It's a safety information card. Take it out, check it out. You'll notice in the highly unlikely event that the captain lands a snare hot tub, everybody gets their very own teeny weeny yellow Southwest bikini. One size fits all. Take it out on lift shoulder to do so. Place it over your head. Strap around your waist. Buckle it in front. Pull it tight. One side side. Pull down on the red tab. Inflate to manually inflate below the tube at your shoulder. The questions are coming by, hoping that you'll tell them how good looking they are. They're going to make sure your seat backs and tray table are in their full upright. Absolutely, most uncomfortable position possible. And your crown items are crammed and shoved completely under the seat in front of you, leaving absolutely no room for your knees or feet. As you know, it's a no smoking, no whining, no complaining flight. It's a please and thank you, and you are such a good looking flight attendant flight. Smoking is never allowed aboard a Southwest. If you're caught smoking, the lavatory is fine for that $2,000. And if you want to pay that for your airfare, you should have flown somebody else. If we do make you that nervous the next hour and a half, you're more than welcome to step outside. We don't discriminate at Southwest. We have a special smoking session just for you. We'll even show you a movie tonight. We have Up in the Air. And the flight attendant serving you, her name is Wendy, and her motto is, if you can light it, you can smoke it. Federal Aviation Group is tampering with disabling or destroying any smoke detector or webcam in either of our laboratories. Federal Aviation Regulation for our passenger compliance, with a lot of passenger information signs and posted placards. Basically, just do what we say and nobody gets hurt. And although we could never anticipate a loss of cabin pressure, if we did, we certainly wouldn't be at work tonight. But if needed, for oxygen masks off the compartment overhead. Stop screaming, let go of your neighbor, pull under that plastic tubing is fully extended, place the mask over your nose and mouth and breathe normally. To activate the flow of oxygen, simply insert 75 cents for the first minute and 50 cents for each minute. Although that plastic bag may not insulate, you are receiving lots and lots of gin. Oxygen, that is. And if you're traveling with small children, we're sorry. If you're traveling with more than one child, pick out the one that you think might have the most earning potential down the road. And if you're traveling with somebody needing very special assistance, like your husband, bless his heart, or your wife, put on your mask first. That's it for the news and don'ts of show and tell. Sit back and relax, or you can sit up and be tense. Either way, it's not a matter of game to game, the clock's already ticking. Seriously, if there's anything at all that we can do to make your flight more enjoyable, please tell us. Just as soon as we land in Salt Lake City. And if there's anything you can do to make our flight more enjoyable, we'll tell you immediately. We're not shy in Southwest. That's what we call very cheap entertainment. Nobody had to pay extra, but you certainly don't get a refund. That's safe and cheap in Southwest. Welcome aboard.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide. Starry-eyed, once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say.
It was time for me to check in, right? Now, the check-in process at the airport, they don't want to look at you. Head down, right? No smile, nothing. I feel like I'm working. Right? I feel like I work at United. Hi, how you doing? Right? The only time they get happy is when the bag goes over the weight allowance. They love telling you, you're gonna owe extra on this bag. And you know it's heavy. When you're packing it at home, you tell your wife, we're never gonna make it with the, it's okay, okay, I'll pack it, huh? So heavy, right? You put it up there, and you know it's heavy, so you kind of try and release it. You do that like kind of soft release, like that's gonna take weight off the bag. And her mood changes. She's like, "Ooh, I'm sorry. Your bag is 2 pounds over. You're gonna have to take 2 pounds out of your bag. Now, like an idiot, I gotta open up my bag in front of 187 people. I don't know what 2 pounds is. I'm taking out a boot, a sock, toothpaste. Is this 2 pounds? Does anybody know what 2 pounds is? They're gonna charge me an extra $8,000. You think the boots are half a pound? I go, where do you want me to put this? She's like, put that in your carry-on. I said, it's still going on the plane. What does it matter if it's on top or underneath? The guy behind me is 500 pounds. That doesn't matter? My sock is going to take the plane into the Pacific, but you prepared for this type of weight? It's a scam. Every part of that airport bothers me. the TSA, the security checkpoint. This is what's guarding our country. Have you seen what's in the blue shirts at O'Hare? Do you feel safe with this type of security? I've been all over the world, Egypt, Lebanon, Beirut. I've been all over. The security in their airports, unbelievable. All military, neat, hats, machine guns. Have you seen our first line of defense? You see the first guy they send out? Take out your laptop! Your liquids, your creams, your gel.
Passengers on the United Airlines flight knew something wasn't right when the pilot showed up late and not in uniform.
She shows up dressed like a civilian and asked us to take a vote to see whether we should have her change into her uniform or fly as is.
After that, it only got stranger.
She was venting. She mentioned her divorce.
She started off by saying that she had not voted for either Trump or Clinton because they're a bunch of liars.
That's when about 20 passengers got off the plane saying they didn't feel safe with her in the cockpit.
She was not in the right state of mind.
United put a new pilot on the plane and the flight took off about 90 minutes late from Austin, Texas to San Francisco.
Is this your flight home?
All you foreigners need to get out, is that what you said?
No, I'm saying he's saying about that.
But what did you say, who needs to get out?
All the illegals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sir, you're going to need to collect your belongings and come with me.
No,
white supremacists getting flown off, getting taken off the plane.
Sir, we need your officer.
Thank you.
Please collect your belongings. Let's
Where
go.
Am I going to get my next flight?
Let's go. We're going to talk about that outside.
Oh, yeah, we go with you.
Yeah, you got to go too. You got to be kidding.
Let's go, sir.
That's very good, guys. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
They had nothing to do with this, you guys. Let's go.
I didn't say anything. I
collect all your belongings, please.
Okay. Happy flight home. Yeah. Hope you stay there.
Oh, my gosh.
Where did I start?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Racists aren't welcome in America.
Bye.
This is not Trump's America.
Yeah, get out of here. Hey, I'll come back. You'll be gone. Bye.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near, you may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say.
An experienced pilot knew what was constantly happening inside a jet turbine engine. In order to produce forward thrust, air enters the fan in the front and becomes compressed by the layers of fan blades inside the turbine. Towards the rear section, fuel is added and ignited. This keeps the rotation in motion.
Most engines also provide the pressurized breathing air for cabin air. This air is bled off from the compressor stages within the turbine. It is therefore called bleed air. The fan blades must rotate constantly and smoothly around the central shaft, which requires a special lubricant, the synthetic engine oil. The oil also has to perform well with the enormous heat that can reach up to 450 degrees Celsius or even higher. It's contained by special seals made from carbon. But whenever thrust is increased or reduced, small amounts of oil may leak through the seals and enter the airstream. These particles get burned or pyrolyzed by the hot engine and travel their way via the air ducts together with the compressed breathing air to the cabin. Even today, there are no filters installed within the system, nor are there any sensors measuring the air quality on board, or which could alarm the pilots in case toxic chemicals enter the air conditioning system and become inhaled in flight. So the only sensor is the sense of smell of the pilots. If the seals are aging or fail completely, then visible smoke may enter the cockpit and the cabin.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Oh my god! What are you doing? No, this is wrong! Oh my god! Look at what you're doing to him!
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of Rat.
This is Tom Savino from Savino Veritas Radio. Regardless of how you're equipped, be it penis or clit, if you have an erection lasting more than 4 hours, let's face it, you're up all night. And if you're up all night, you should be listening to the artist D and Anne Marie on Up All Night. Catch them live each Saturday on 4 Culture Radio at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicetotalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards with a V for victory.
Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne Marie from Up All Night on 4 Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at juicetalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Tied up, ready.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Welcome to
juicetalk.com.
Today is Thomas Jefferson's birthday. He's 274 today. He doesn't look a day over dust. Which reminds me, Savino Veritas is brought to you by Endust, makers of eternal life. I think Thomas Jefferson would not be pleased with the state of the nation he helped create. He wouldn't be happy because today, 274 years after his birth, 191 years after his death, on 241 years after July 4th, 1776, the birth of this experiment called the United States of America, he wouldn't be pleased because the values for which it once stood, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, have been brought to its knees and is heading for the hole in the ground of enlightenment dug by the fascist narcissist who exists solely for the benefit of himself and a wannabe royal family he's placed in charge. And dark forces of Nazi-like Bannon and Gorka who Trump, King Khan, uses for his benefit. Jefferson would not be pleased today, on his birthday, to know that spies prodded by a murderous leader of a hostile foreign government were and are colluding with citizens of the nation our third president helped to create. And as a highly educated man, extremely literate man, he would not be happy at all to see almost half the populace so dull, so delusional, to allow themselves to be duped daily by the purveyors of fake news, Breitbart, Alex Jones, Fakebook, and Fox so-called news, who disseminate lies at the behest of a liar-in-chief and the anti-American forces of greed conspiring to keep the masses ignorant and angry. Thomas Jefferson, on his birthday, would not be happy today to see 2.5 centuries of progress by the people and for the people decimated in fewer than 100 days by a celebrity TV host who not only thrives on keeping the masses misinformed and riled up, but who himself seems to crave devouring gluttonous portions of fabricated information he then willingly shits out atop the deadheads of his ignorant base, like the fake food he literally eats, then dumps into his private gold commodes at some opulent property that now doubles as the nation's headquarters instead of the people's house, the White House. Jefferson would not be happy to learn that nearly half the populace doesn't learn, that is, and to learn they've prohibited themselves from learning by choosing not to see the truth in front of them. He'd be unhappy indeed to see we the people stuck on stupid. Jefferson said, quote, "Honesty is the first chapter in the book of wisdom," end quote. If so, then Commander-in-Tweet Donald Trump is the antithesis of wisdom, bigly. First, because if reading a book is involved in the equation, that automatically leaves out Trump. And secondly, because if the equation requires honesty, well, do I even have to comment on that? Thomas Jefferson said this too, quote, "Question with boldness even the existence of God, because if there be one, he must approve of the homage of reason than that of blindfolded fear," end quote. If Mr. T. Rump's supporters were ever capable of reasoning at all, well, that skill's been killed with the Trump-Russia machine's fake news injections of fear. Crooked Hillary, child sex rings in pizzerias, millions of fraudulent voters when there were zero, and on and on and on. What fake news injection of fear will try to fill our veins tomorrow? Pretty dark, pretty dark. But Jefferson also said this, "I hold that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing, and as necessary in the political world as storms in the physical." While these are dark, dark days in Jefferson's America, the storms of rebellion and protest will necessarily make things even darker. But when storms clear, brightness and light are even more appreciated and joyous. About a month ago, Sikh American Valerie Kaur spoke on this show. She commemorated her turban-wearing Sikh uncle, who was shot and killed after 9/11 by bigots stuck on stupid, mistaking a Sikh for a Muslim. She buried her uncle. It was a dark day for her and her family. She'd have every reason to see America as a hateful, barbaric society with no hope of redemption. But she caught a glimmer of light. She said of America and its future, quote, "What if this darkness of America is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb?" And today, on Thomas Jefferson's 274th birthday, let me repeat Valerie Carr's question. What if this darkness of America is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? America is ready for a rebirth, a reincarnation of liberty and justice. On this Jefferson's birthday, resist, persist. There are marches and protests around the country on April the 15th, Saturday, to demand the release of T. Rump's tax returns, his full tax returns. On Earth Day, another Saturday, April the 22nd, there are more demonstrations and protests. Find them. Find one. Go. Act. Jefferson said, "Do you want to know who you are? Don't ask. Act. Action will delineate and define you. Will you be stuck on stupid and remain a force of darkness? Or will, like Valerie Carr suggests in her metaphor for rebirth, emerge from the darkness of the womb, breathe, and push?" Be part of the enlightened rebirth of America. If you do, Thomas Jefferson today will have a happy birthday. Thomas Jefferson also said, "Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal."
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
Thank you, everybody.
Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude, end quote.
You don't even know what you're talking about. Try getting it out. Go ahead.
He continues, "When angry, count to 10 before you speak."
Why did you wait days to come out and express that outrage?
It took us a couple of days because I like to know what I'm talking about before I speak.
All right. If very angry, count to 100, end quote.
Testosterone high?
Use some Tic Tacs just in case they start kissing.
Use Tic Tac. But what about that temper?
Well, Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. She's a slob. She talks like a truck driver. Probably I'll sue her because it would be fun. I'd like to take some money out of her fat ass pockets.
When you're over the edge, try Temperaments.
I got a couple of days because I like to know what I'm talking about before I speak.
Temperaments.
Robin, as soon as our planes have cleared Libyan airspace, you can call the press, but I don't know what time we'll have the full BDA.
General Rourke says around 0800.
0800?
Sir, what do you think about a national address?
Last thing I want to do is put the Libyan center stage.
Well, I think it's a great idea, sir. I mean, you know Rumson's going to be talking about your lack of military service.
It's not about Rumson. What I did tonight was not about political gain.
Yes, but it can be, sir. What you did tonight was very presidential.
Leon, somewhere in Libya right now, a janitor's working the night shift at the Libyan intelligence headquarters. He's going about doing his job. Because he has no idea in about an hour he's going to die in a massive explosion. He's just going about his job because he has no idea that about an hour ago I gave an order to have him killed. You just see me do the least presidential thing I do.
Baby, don't you wanna go? I've admired President Obama's ability to carefully weigh his words and actions during the 8 positive nation-rescuing years in the White House. So when on September the 6th, 2013, on national TV, he defined the boundaries that would be unacceptable for Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad to cross, I heard what sounded like a terrible off-key note.
1, 2, 3, take me out to the ball game, take me out to the crowd.
In Obama's otherwise harmonious symphony of reason and international diplomacy, the words red line were shrill and irritating and troublesome. Obama said if Assad were ever to use chemical weapons on his own populace, for whatever reason, the dictator would have crossed over a red line for which Assad would feel the wrath of America's might on him. Then after Obama's pronouncement, Assad did drench poison gas on Syrian civilians, killing thousands of innocents. Including among those murdered, thousands were children who, given their smaller bodies, were especially vulnerable to the sarin nerve gas. Assad crossed the red line. Now what? Well, Obama went to Congress, as the Constitution required, to seek America's legislative representatives' permission to strike back militarily against Assad, after the butcher dictator did, in fact, cross the red line. What was Congress's response? There wasn't any. So what did Obama do? He did what he legally could do under the circumstances. Nothing. In defense of President Obama, he did take strong military action against Libya starting on March 19, 2011. That Obama's bombing of Libya started as part of a coalition of nations which included Belgium, Canada, Denmark, France, Italy, Norway, Qatar, Spain, the United Kingdom, and the United States. Shortly after those nations acted against Libya and their murderous dictator, NATO officially took over the command against Muammar Gaddafi until there was no more Gaddafi. But even though NATO took over the operation, the U.S. Congress condemned President Obama for taking military action against a nation that didn't attack us without getting their approval. Yes, even though 10 nations in addition to ours bombed Libya before NATO and the United Nations took command. So, is it any wonder Obama, even after making the mistake of taunting Assad with his red line ultimatum, sought constitutionally required approval before bombing Syria? Of course it isn't. Is it any wonder he didn't go ahead and bomb Syria anyway, given Congress didn't respond to his request one way or the other? No. Given what we know now, that Obama didn't see any option that would make a difference in Syria and didn't see any benefits to the United States and the Western world in general, he may have been satisfied Congress didn't respond. While that situation gave him an out not to get involved, he did remember sing out that shrill, terrible, off-key, saber-rattling, sour note,
"Take me out to the ball game,"
of drawing the red line, which Assad did now cross. He created a situation where no response at all would easily be seen as an act by inaction of a weak American president. But lest we forget, the United States, under the order of President Barack Obama, has relentlessly bombed Syria almost 13,000 times in just his second term alone, with permission. A bit more than 59 Tomahawks that made only one lone pothole on an airstrip of an airfield that was 100% operational a day after Trump's less than devastating military action that was clearly all for show only. There are scores of easily acquired tweets in the archives, you can see them, of Donald Trump as a mere citizen warning the then President Obama to stay out of Syria. And when Obama did send and explode bombs anywhere, like Libya and Syria, it was citizen Trump who gleefully suggested President Obama did so only because poll numbers were low. Well, whose poll numbers can be lower than Trump's? No one's. We are all pretty well versed in Trump's various psychological dysfunctions, like projection. So is it any wonder Trump launched 59 benign tomahawks just when his approval rating had gone down to the lowest ever by a new president? The lowest ever by a new president. No, it's not any wonder. And now, given genius son Eric's pronouncement that sending a pothole-creating missile to Syria, Russia's ally, equals absolute proof that his father is not a Putin puppet, let's not forget Trump notified Russia before the so-called attack so that Russia could notify Syria of the incoming fireworks, about as lethal as a Roman candle. Eric doesn't leave us much choice but to conclude that dear old dad is dangerously inept. He said that his father's launching of the missiles was based, at least in part, on daughter Ivanka's displeasure with seeing children in Syria being gassed to death. So let's see. The bombing of an airfield in Syria proves, according to Eric, that Trump is not working with Russia. But we know Trump notified Russia of the attack beforehand. And let's see. Trump bombed another nation because his too privileged daughter was upset with the atrocity? Well, that's sure reassuring. What'll he do when Eric, Donald, Ivanka, or Jared are not happy with something? Lord knows. Oh, and yes, there's the fact. The fact that Trump holds shares in Raytheon, makers of the missiles. They also make the missiles, the more expensive ones, that will replace the 59 wasted in Syria. Trump has never relinquished his conflict of interest investments like this one. So I guess, given his known history of not giving a shit for anyone else but himself, we can expect more stuck-on-stupid attacks on nothing of consequence so that he and his wannabe royal family can profit even more. Finally, what if Russia orchestrated the whole thing? What if Russia, with Trump's knowing, allowed or even ordered Assad's gassing of Syria's people, so that Trump could respond militarily, making it look as if he were a decisive, strong leader, and even more importantly, making it look, as Eric Trump has suggested, making it look as if it's presenting so-called proof that Daddy was and is not puppet when he was and is.
1, 2, 3, take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd.
Why did... My question is, first, why did he think he could get away with it this time? This is not new for the Russians. They've done this for a long time across Europe, but it was much more engaging this time in our election. Why now? Mr. Watts?
I think this answer is very simple and is what no one is really saying in this room, which is... Part of the reason active measures have worked in this U.S. election is because the commander-in-chief has used Russian active measures at time against his opponents. On 14 August 2016, his campaign chairman, after a debunked insurrection...
When you say his, who's his?
Paul Manafort, okay. Cited the fake Incirlik story as a terrorist attack on CNN, and he used it as a talking point. On 11 October, President Trump stood on a stage and cited what appears to be a fake news story from Sputnik News that disappeared from the Internet. He denies the intel from the United States about Russia. He claimed that the election could be rigged. That was the number one theme pushed by RT, Sputnik News, white outlets all the way up until the election. He's made claims of voter fraud, that President Obama is not a citizen, that, you know, Congressman Cruz is not a citizen. So part of the reason active measures works, and it does today in terms of Trump Tower being wiretapped, is because they parrot the same lines. So Putin is correct. He can say that he's not influencing anything because he's just putting out his stance. But until we get a firm basis on fact and fiction in our own country, get some agreement about the facts, whether it be do I support the intelligence community or a story I read on my Twitter feed, we're going to have a big problem. I can tell you right now today, gray outlets that are Soviet-pushing accounts tweet at President Trump during high volumes when they know he's online, and they push conspiracy theories. So if he is to click on one of those or cite one of those, it just proves Putin correct, that we can use this as a lever against the Americans.
You're listening to Savino Veritas. This is a satirical show. As I say, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding, because this is a very scary, frightening, eve of destruction moment in the United States of America. I promise I'll be cheering you up momentarily, but before I do, I'm going to bring you down even more. Here's a tape I got, an audio I got very secretly from an entity called Anonymous. Listen very carefully.
We are Anonymous, and we have been gathering breadcrumbs left by the Kremlin operatives who conducted the cyber Pearl Harbor attack on America's electoral infrastructure. On June 6, 2015, Vladimir Putin signed the order directing Russian SVR to employ every means to manipulate the American election. 2 weeks later, Donald Trump announced his candidacy for U.S. president. Months earlier, Trump met with Russian intelligence officials to formulate a plan to take over the U.S. government with the help of Russia. We know this because we have a mole inside these operations. Alas, when children run operations, they spill milk along the way and forget to clean up. The Kremlin children sloppily left digital fingerprints, communications, and voice messages for Anonymous to find. Yes, we know how these amateurs stole the emails from the Democratic servers in Washington, D.C. That Russian team came in with all its little toys and vacuumed up the data, brazenly setting up shop near the Democratic National Headquarters until its deed was done. We know the Russians have operatives in two U.S. vote machine companies. We know they burrowed into the election systems of 29 states to cause mischief and remove voters. We know they have reverse-engineered data cards used in two different vote machines. And we know they have perfected the skill set to wirelessly hack machines to change the votes. The SVR attack was an act of war against the United States to subvert its political system in order to destabilize and paralyze the U.S. so that it could not effectively counter Russian aggression in Europe. It was meant as a warning that democracy itself is no longer safe. The SVR cyber war campaign was insidious and devastating. Stage 1 involved the stealing of sensitive information that could be used to discredit and compromise Hillary Clinton. This stolen data was doctored for maximum damage. It was then disseminated through the Russian propagandist WikiLeaks to make it appear to be from whistleblowers rather than hackers. Stage 2 involved having Russian agents based in pro-Russian countries set up fake news to spread lies about Hillary in order to irreparably damage her and suppress the vote. Thousands of such stories were leveraged into a massive disinformation campaign backed by a Russian troll and cyberbot army. This toxic flood of propaganda poisoned the well of democracy and undermined the legitimacy and fairness of the election. Stage 3 involved the contacts with Donald Trump, both directly and through surrogates such as his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and Russian agent Paul Manafort. Trump has been compromised by the SVR personally and professionally, and Trump knows that he must play their game or be destroyed. For Russia, This is a win-win because either it has Trump as a puppet or it further undermines American democracy by bringing down another president. Stage 4 involved the placement of Russian agents and advocates into the Trump administration and executive agencies in order to ensure that its geopolitical agenda is realized. This is being done right now. Donald Trump has mocked the overwhelming evidence that Russia got him elected through cyber warfare. But now we have shown that the SVR plans and his communications with the Kremlin's goblins are not going to stay hidden. Vladimir Putin's D-Day declaration of war against America has now been exposed. Anonymous asks all respectable intel sources and white hats to flood the world with every scrap of data showing that 75 years after Pearl Harbor, Russia committed another unprovoked act of war against the United States. Let the response be as robust as it was in 1941. We are anonymous, we are legion, we are everywhere, we are nowhere, we do not forgive, we do not forget. Expect us.
Hitler didn't even sink to the level of using chemical weapons. What did you mean by that?
I think when you come to sarin gas, there was no, he was not using the gas on his own people the same way that Assad is doing. I mean, there was clearly, I understand your point. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. There was not in the, he brought him into the, to the Holocaust Center. I understand that. But I'm saying in the way that Assad used them, where he went into towns, dropped them down to innocent into the middle of towns, it was brought to it. So the use of it, and I appreciate the clarification there. That was not the intent.
Hello, I'm Adolf Hitler. Remember this? Those were the days of World War II. My war, and probably your war too. War-torn Dresden, Berlin when it was won, Alsace-Lorraine, and who could forget the Warsaw ghettos? Now you can preserve all these wonderful memories with the songs that captured entire continents. Now the people at Stalag House have put together a collection of the most beloved songs of the master race. This two-album set contains such great oldies as Spy on Your Mother for the Fatherland, Heil Heil, the Gang's All Here, and my personal favorite, Deutschland über Alles. This was one of Eva's favorites. There's Goebbels with his first big hit, Gering My Way. You'll get the original recording of the dance furore of the times, the Goose Step.
You will do the Goose Step.
All these recordings were commissioned personally by me and were recorded at SS Sound Studios. There's Rommel and the Panzers, Thanks a Lot. How are things with Mussolini? Russian to the Front. Gestapo in the Name of Love by the Supremacists, and many, many more. The price is only $19.32 for records and $19.45 for tapes. And if you act now, you'll get Poland. So remember, today the album, tomorrow, who knows? Here's how to order.
To get your Adolf Hitler album, send to Tomorrow the World, care of Martin Borman, Argentina.
For flying Savina Veritas Airlines, we're about to land. Put your trays upright and your seat backs upright and be upright. Be an upright citizen. And follow Savina Veritas every Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific time and 11 p.m. Eastern time every Thursday here at 148.ca/1 and 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com. Resist. Remember, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding.
Meeting is adjourned.
Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end. By George, he's got it. It is the end.
Now, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.